All right, Tabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Nun Zayin. We're actually going to start. I know you did to the bottom yesterday, but we're going to start from the Mishnah on Nun Vav Amud Beis. So let's begin from the Mishnah. Amar le Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah says over here that if an Amana marries a Kohen Gadol, or Grusha v'Chalutza, a Kohen Het Yot, or a woman who's a divorcee or a Chalutza, marries a regular Kohen. So the halacha is, the Mishnah says, Mina Eirusin lo yochluch b'truma. All, now, we'll say, obviously, the common denominator between these two marriages is that they are both illegal, right? Meaning a Kohen Gadol is only permitted to marry a Besula. In this case, he's marrying over here a Grusha or a Chalutza, and a Kohen Het Yot, a regular Kohen, is permitted to marry an Aman, he's permitted to marry a widow, but he is not permitted to marry a divorcee. Whether that's an actual divorcee, a Grusha, or whether it is a woman who has experienced Chalitza, which gives her the halachic status in certain regards as a divorcee. So these are both illegal marriages. Because they are illegal marriages, already from the time of Eirusin, the wife is not permitted to eat truma. Now, what is this talking about? Look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, "Mina Eirusin lo yochlu b'truma, mishal shen is katshu le'elu kedusha avera, nifsalu me le'echol b'truma debe nasha in bas koinin." Now, both say, the fact, what Rashi explains over there, what are we talking about? The women in this particular case are daughters of Kohanim themselves. Says the daughter of a Kohen, you'd normally be permitted to go ahead and eat Truma. What the Mishnah is teaching us, according to this first opinion, is from the moment that they have Eirusin in an illegal marriage, precludes them from eating Truma from their father's home. Obviously, from the husband's home, that's kind of obvious already, but the idea of here is that even if they're daughters of Kohanim, they can't eat from their father's home. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon disagree, and they say, no, during Eirusin, she is still permitted to go ahead and eat the truma of her father's home. So look at Rashi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin. They are only precluded from eating truma when? At the moment that they have nisuin, that they have relations with this illegal husband, because at that point in time, when a woman who's not permitted to marry a Kohen has relations with her now Kohanic husband, she becomes a Chalala, and at that point in time, Kidichsiv lo yechalo shnei chilulin echala ve'echalizara. So what's interesting is, we only assume that Chalalos only applies to the offspring of a forbidden Kohanic marriage. Therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us, the woman herself becomes a Chalala as well. So according to this second opinion, Eirusin with an illegal Kohen husband does not preclude you from eating truma from your father's home. Only once you go ahead and you actually marry him, at that point in time, then Lamai says she's precluded from eating truma. So they're both saying, fundamental machlok. Well, let's finish this up. Nis armalu o nis garshumin anisuin. If these women were widowed or were divorced from nisuin, then in that case, Nis armalu o nis garshumin anisuin. If they went through full-fledged marriage, and then as subsequently they were widowed or divorced from nisuin, psulos, then at that point in time, what? They are psulos, meaning they can never again partake of truma, because at this point in time, they've become chalalos. However, mina erisin, if they're a widowed or divorced from erisin, then in that case, ksheros, they are still permitted to go ahead and eat truma again of their father's home. Look at Rashi. Da afilu Rabbi Meir lo pasul mina erisin ela bechayehen de mishtameres labia psula avameusul. And this is very interesting. What the Mishnah is suggesting over here. It's catchy. Right? What the Mishnah was suggesting over here was the following idea. So remember, we have a fundamental machlokis in the Mishnah. The first opinion, who we are going to identify as Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Lamaisa, once a woman, a Grusha or a Chalutza, has Eirusin with a Kohen Gadol, or for that matter, again, a Grusha with a Kohen Hedyot, once there is Eirusin to a forbidden Kohanic husband, that already goes ahead and precludes her from eating Truma within her father's home. Right? But even Rabbi Meir will agree that what? That if she is divorced or she is widowed from Eirusin, then he would agree that she's permitted to resume eating the truma of her father's home. The second in the opinion of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, hold that no, Lamaisa Eirusin does not impact her ability to eat truma of her father's home. It's only Nisuin that would preclude her from eating truma ever again, because at that point in time, she becomes a Chalala. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Am Rabbi Meir, Kavachomer. Rabbi Meir says it's a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Uma Kiddushe Rishus in Ma'achilin, Kiddushe Aver Lakol Shekein. So Rabbi Meir says like this, if Kiddushei Rishus, in a case of what we'll call permitted Kiddushin, look at Rashi, Ma Kiddushei Rishus, Kegon Yisrael shekidish bas kohen she'in kiddusha avera. If Yisrael goes ahead and betroths a bas kohen, totally permitted marriage, ein ma'achilin. We do not permit her to eat. Look at Rashi. Kolomar ein manichin osalech. Oh, this is not like Kamon ha'erusin posin beparakamon. I'm supposed to say we will see later on that if a bas kohen has erusin, we'll see we don't actually accept this opinion, but it's an opinion later on. If a regular kiddushin between a Yisrael and a bas kohen precludes her from eating truma. If she has a prohibited kiddushin, that should certainly preclude her from partaking of truma. What are you talking about? What kind of comparison is that? When she becomes betrothed to a Yisrael, there is no way she's going to be eating truma in her future. That marriage, by definition, will remove her from the ability to partake of truma. But in the case of kiddush avera, what's the kiddush avera case? Where the kohen is marrying someone who is prohibited to him. Now, under other different circumstances, that same kohen could go ahead and allow a woman to partake of truma if the marriage itself was legal. In other words, what they fire back to Rabbi Meir is that is a ridiculous comparison, because you are comparing a case where there will never ever be a permitted consumption of truma to a case. To a case of where what? Where there could be permitted consumption of truma. So the Gemara says like this. Not with her. With her, meaning the difference is, Rabbi Meir is, in the case that you're talking about, that husband will never entitle his wife to eat truma. Why? Because he's Yisrael. In the case of the Kohen, granted, this union, he will not entitle her to eat truma because the union is illegal. But were he to marry a woman with whom he was permitted to marry, he would entitle her to eat truma. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshia. Now the Gemara switches gears for just a little bit, but it's going to loop back to this machlokes. Petsua daka, Kohen, shekidish bas Yisrael. So let's say, what happens if a kohen is a petsua daka? So petsua daka literally means crushed testicles. Now we're going to discuss, actually the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what qualifies as a petsua daka. I mean, it sounds pretty straightforward, but we'll see exactly what level of injury is necessary in order to render someone a petsua daka. But here's what we know about a petsua daka. That a petsua daka is not permitted to marry what we call into Kal Yisrael. A petsua daka is not permitted to marry, we'll call it into the normative marriage pool. We're going to have to define what that means also. I forgot to mention that the shiur today is sponsored by David Kahana, memory of his father-in-law Zev Ben Shlomo, and we hope that Amed Torah, Talmud Torah, and Shlomo have an aliyah, as well as for the Refuah Shleima of Cherna Tova Basracha Leah. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will have a complete and enduring Refuah. So now the Gemara says like this. So what happens? Ptsua daka shekidesh bas Yisrael. So a ptsua daka betroths a regular Jewish woman. Says the Gemara, banu le machlokes, Rabbi Meir, v'Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. We now enter into the machlokes of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So what's the machlokes? So he says like this: Le Rabbi Meir da amar mishtameres lebi apsula da oraisa lo achla. So according to Rabbi Meir, who holds, Rabbi said, listen to this. So mishtameres lebi apsula da oraisa means that a woman is betrothed and she is waiting for a bia that is biblically prohibited, meaning that if she enters into nisuin, that bia will be 100%. Biblically prohibited. So according to Rabbi Meir, who says that a woman who's waiting for a bia psula doraisa lo achla is not permitted to eat truma, so ha nami lo achla. So Rabosa, even if you say that there's no iser in the erusin, right? Even if you say there's no iser in the erusin, nevertheless, what lemaisa at the end of the day when nisuin occurs, that will be a bia that is psula doraisa. So according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that a woman who's waiting for a bia psula doraisa is not permitted to eat. Certainly, this woman who is betrothed to a petsua daka is not permitted to eat. But according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar, I want to point out, this is the same Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon who say what in the Mishnah, that if let's say the Kohen Gadol betroths a grusha, or let's keep it differently, an almana who herself was a daughter of a Kohen. So remember, the Kohen Gadol is not permitted to marry her. But during Erusin, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Paskin, that's what? She's still permitted to eat the truma of her father's home. Why? Because they hold she only becomes a halala when? From the moment of Nisuin and on. So same thing over here. According to Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon, who say Mishtameres labia psula daraisa achla, they hold that even if woman is waiting for a bia psula, meaning even if the nisuin is going to result in an illegal bia, they still hold that during irisin she's still entitled to eat. Tap of nun zayin hanami achla. So Rabbi say even in this case over here, listen to this. So now you have the petsua daka is betrothing, the petsua daka kohen is betrothing a regular Jewish woman. So here's what we know: nisuin will be absolutely illegal. He's not permitted to marry this woman. But the shaila is during erusin, is she still permitted to eat truma? Still permitted to eat truma? Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon will say no. Excuse me, Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon will say yes. Now why? Listen, look at Rashi. Tap Rashi anon zayin. Hanami achla de kinyan kaspohi va'ocheles tivar Torah va'ad deboil deshavi lechalel v'avachla. Rabbi, this is very interesting. Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon says, I'll tell you why she can eat. Because when he betroths her, she essentially becomes what? It's very interesting. Kinyan kaspo. Kinyan kaspo means what? He acquires her. He acquires her, and the same way that if he has an eved or if he has a shifcha, they could eat truma. So this woman right now is considered to be kinyan kaspo. Once they do nisuin and there's biha, then she becomes a halala. Once she becomes a halala, she's no longer permitted to eat. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, mimai. Now, essentially, what the Gemara is doing is comparing the case of Ptsua Daka that betrothed a Bas Yisrael to the case of our Mishnah of, let's say, a Kohen Gadol who betrothed an Almana. And the same way that Rabbi Meir said in that case, Rabbi Meir is the Tanakama, the same way that Rabbi Meir said in that case, already from Erusin, she may not eat Truma. As so too, we would see over here, we would assume that when the Ptsua Daka goes in and betroths the Almana, when Ptsua Daka betroths the Israelis, that she also can't eat Truma. And same thing over here, when Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon said in the Mishnah, that no, from Erusin she can eat. They would say the same thing by Ptsua Daka. To which the Gemara says, how do you know to compare those cases? Mimai. Dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon hasam. Perhaps Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon are makel in the Mishnah. Why? Because in the case of the Mishnah of the Kohen Gadol, or for that matter the Kohen Hedyot, they have the ability to enable the woman to eat Truma under different circumstances, i.e., if the woman is someone whom they are permitted to marry. Aval hacha, but in the case of Ptsua Daka, de'ein lo laha'achil b'makom acher lo. But I will say, remember, who is the Ptsua Daka permitted to marry? Who's the Ptsua Daka? Let me say it differently. That's the wrong question. Who, Ptsua Daka Kohen, will he ever enable any woman to eat Truma? The assumption is no. Now, we'll challenge that assumption shortly, but that's the assumption right now. V'chitema, ha'chenam yeshu la'achel b'bas gerim. 1 second, maybe there is someone he could enable to eat Truma, which is who? The daughter of gerim. They will say, look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, b'bas gerim, that if the Ptsua Daka will be permitted to marry the daughter of converts. Rashi says, the kasavar, Kal gerim lo ikri kal ve'inam bichlal lo yova petzua daka ve'nosa behetero ma'achil truma. Now, when we say the daughter of gerim could either mean the child of gerim or what the ger herself. We're going to get into this a little bit later, but it's possible that according to some opinions that when it says lo yova petzua daka bekal Hashem, kal Hashem only means what? Naturally born Jews. But perhaps, again, converts are not considered that piece of Kal Hashem, and he'd be permitted to go ahead and marry her. So maybe you'll say that the Ptsua, and we're going to get into this later on, the Ptsua Daka is going to go ahead, the Ptsua Daka will be permitted to Bas Gerim. But we will see later on, this was a question that was asked from Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Oshia, and Rabbi Oshia did not resolve it. So you can't take it for granted that he is permitted to go ahead and marry the Bas Gerim. Sitmar. Abayi said, so, no, there is a case of Ptsua Daka, Rabbi Elazar. What's the case of Ptsua Daka where he can enable his wife to go ahead and eat Truma? Rabbi Elazar is a very interesting case. Let's say it's a regular coin. Regular coin, he marries a woman, and Nebuch, something happens, he becomes a Ptsua Daka. He becomes a Ptsua Daka, and what happens? After the moment that he becomes a Ptsua Daka, he did not continue to live with his wife. Now, if he did not continue to live with his wife, then what? Then technically speaking, she could continue to eat Truma. Why? Because it's only if he continues to live with her, if he has relations with her after he's a Ptsua Daka, then what? Then he makes her a Halala. So if he never continues to live with her, then she still has that first Kiddushin. That first Kiddushin, that first Nisuin enabled her to go ahead and marry him, and she could continue to eat. So you have a case of Kohen Ptsua Daka, in which his wife is still permitted to go ahead and eat Truma. The Rabbah said, now the truth is, that's not really the best case. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, isha. If a Kohen was married to a regular woman, Truma, and therefore she's permitted to eat Truma, then he became a Ptsua Daka, then he had relations with her after becoming a Ptsua Daka, then in that case she can't eat Truma. Why? The Shavye Chalala, the Nivala Lipsula, because now she became a Chalala. Why is she a Chalala? Because she had relations with a man who was prohibited to her. V'im lo yada mishnasa Ptsua Daka. However, if he did not have relations with her after becoming a Ptsua Daka, Hari Zu Yada, she would be permitted to go ahead and continue to eat Truma. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that there is a case of Ptsua Daka where his wife could still continue to go ahead and eat Truma, to which the Gemara says, Rava Amar Rava says, Hoyil Umma Achila Ba'avada Vishivchosav Haknanim. So also remember, what we're trying to figure out over here is we're trying to figure out a situation in which you can go ahead and you can have a case of Ptsua Daka being able to enable his wife to eat Truma. So Abayi suggested that the case could be where he wasn't a Ptsua Daka at the beginning of the marriage, it was a regular marriage, she was eating Truma, and then he became a Ptsua Daka later on in the marriage. As long as he did not continue to live with her, technically speaking, she could still continue to eat Truma. Rava says there's another way that Ptsua Daka enables people to eat Truma, and that's how. Ba'avadav v'shivchosav haknanim. That's what? Through his servants. Because if you are a kinyan kaspo, if you are an acquisition of the Ptsua Daka, you are still permitted to go ahead and eat Truma. So the Gemara says, Abaye lo amar kerava, Abaye did not go like Rava. Why? Kinyan ishos mi kinyan ishos yafinon, velo yafinon kinyan ishos mi kinyan avadim. Because Abaye will say very simply, that's what we're talking about marriage over here. So don't bring up the case of his avadim, because the case of the avadim has nothing to do with the topic at hand. And Rava didn't say like Abaye. Why? Because your case Abaye is not correct. Shiny Hasam, Shekvar Achla, you know, your case of the Isha who was already eating the Truma, that's not a fair case, because she was already eating Truma, meaning she already had the license to eat Truma. Once she had license to eat Truma already, that's not the same case as the paradigmatic Ptsua Daka case that we brought up in Amud Beis, to which the words of Abaye, Shekvar Achla Lo Aminon, Abaye said, just because she was permitted to eat in the past, doesn't automatically guarantee a license for consumption in the future. Dilo Temach, because if you don't say this, Basi Sral Shani says, Lekoein Umis, if a Bas Yisrael married a Kohen and then the Kohen died, Teichel, do we say that she could continue to eat Truma? Shekvar Achal, and Rabbah say, we know, this is important halacha, if a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, now she's permitted to eat Truma, now her husband dies, what's that halacha? She can't eat Truma anymore. So Abaye says, you see from here that just because a woman once upon a time had the opportunity to eat Truma does not automatically mean what? That she will forever have a license to consume Truma. So the Gemara says, Rava will say, no, in that case, Hasam, Paka Kinyana. The reason why she can't eat, the widow can't eat anymore, is because the Kinyan of the Kohen, the Kinyan of the marriage, Paka, literally went away with the death of the Kohen. Hacha, but in this case over here, Lo Paka, the Kinyan did not go away. Okay, so we'll say, we have this fundamental machlokes still in the case of Ptsua Daka, who betroths a Bas Yisrael. We have the same fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir is the Tanakhama in the Mishnah, who says that Erusin of an illegal marriage will already preclude her from eating Truma. We'll say over here, same thing as well, that if a Ptsua Daka betroths this woman, then Lamaisa, again what? Lamaisa, she's not permitted to eat Truma. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that she only becomes a Chalala when there is Bia, will say the same thing over here. When there's betrothal to a Ptsua Daka, that would not immediately preclude her from eating Truma. Only Nisun with a Ptsua Daka, which would then render a Chalala, would preclude her from eating Truma. Now the Gemara goes back and revisits one of the previous topics. Gufa, Boy Minei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yoshia, Ptsua Daka Kohen Shenisa Basgerim, Mahu Shiachilenu Bitruma. So I'll say, listen to this. So Rabbi Yochanan comes before Rabbi Oshia, and he asks him the following question. What happens if a Petzua Daka betroths, actually this is not betroths, this is Nisa, married a Bas Gerim. He married the daughter of converts. What is the halacha? Is she permitted to go ahead and eat truma? Okay, so the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, so ishtik, Rabbi Oshia did not answer the question. Rabbi Yochanan asked it, Rabbi Oshia didn't answer it. L'sof asa gavra rabba achrina. A little later on, a great man came up for Rabbi Oshia. Uba'a minei milsa achrisa upashit lei. And this great man asked Rabbi Oshia a question. Rabbi Oshia answered the question. Umanu, who was this great man? Reish Lakish. Okay, so Rabbi Oshia. So now Rabbi Yochanan comes before Rabbi Oshia and asks him a question. Rabbi Oshia didn't answer it. Then Reish Lakish comes before Rabbi Oshia, asks Rabbi Oshia kasha, and a different kasha. And Rabbi Oshia answers it. Arbonli Rabbi Yehuda, Nisiel Rabbi Oshia. So Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Oshia, Atu Rabbi Yochanan lav gar rabu. Now Rabbi Oshia, people who saw this assumed that for some reason Rabbi Oshia did not answer Rabbi Yochanan because there's something wrong with Rabbi Yochanan. Because after all, again, Reish Lakish came along and he answered his question. So they asked, tell me, is Rabbi Yochanan not of significant enough ranking that if he asks you a question, you don't answer it? So Amarle, so Rabbi Oshia says, why are you guys reading into this? Dikaboy mine milsa de les le pitri. I didn't know the answer. Right? You know, mostly, by the way, it's so important. This mamish is like Maisim Bechol Yom, where people see circumstances and they insert their own narrative into the circumstances. So here you could see already how the tale is unfolding. People think that Rabbi Oshia was giving a shtach to Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Oshia is thinking Rabbi Yochanan is of enough standing, which says, calm down. I didn't know the answer to the question. I didn't know that. Why? Now he explains why. It also tells you, by the way, it also tells you that Rabbi Oshia should have responded, I don't know the answer. So we'll say, meaning it goes both ways. On one hand, there's chachamim hizaru b'divrechem. Be careful with your words. Don't allow your words to be ambiguous or your actions to be ambiguous enough that people can insert an alternate narrative. But also, if you are the person who's seeing all these things, don't jump to insert your own narrative. So Rabbi Oshia, I'll tell you why the question is problematic. Remember, this is Rabbi Yochanan's question of, can a Petzua Daka marry the daughter of Gerim? Why is this akasha? So the Gemara says, the Kabbai Muslim, because let's try to play this out. Either Rabbi Yehuda, if you want to say according to Rabbi Yehuda, bein biktusha sekai, bein lo biktusha sekai, lo achla. Whether a kohen petzua daka retains his kohanic kedusha or not. Now, we're going to see Rashi points out over here, lekaman beperek ha'arel, mi boilan kohen petzua daka mahu bigyoris, biktusha sekai va'asr. So we're going to see later on, there's an interesting shayla, does a kohen petzua daka retain his kohanic kedusha or not? That's going to be a fundamental question later on. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, whether he retains his Kohanic Kedusha or not, lo achla, she still should not be permitted to eat this Bas Gerim. Why not? Because if a Kohen B'tzua Daka retains his Kedusha, lo achla, she can't eat. Why? The Ha Amar Mar Bas Ger Zocher Ki Bas Chalom. Because Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that what? That the daughter of a ger, the daughter, a woman whose father is a male convert. Now, Rabbi, this is talking about, remember, this is already after the father's converted, father and mother convert, and they have a child. They have a child. So Rabbi Huda holds that daughter is like a chalal. That daughter is like a chalal, meaning she is not permitted to marry a kohen. Rabbi, we actually had this earlier. The daughter of a convert. So the daughter of a convert is not permitted to marry a kohen. Therefore, again, even if you say that the Petzua Daka retains his Kohanic Kedusha, she can't marry the Bas Gerim. Why? Because she's off limits to him. She's off limits to any kohen. Because she's like a chalala. I love Biktusha Sekai. And if you say that the Petzua Daka does not retain his Kohanic Kedusha, lo achla, she still can't eat. Why? The Ha'aminon Kal Gerim Ikrei Kal. Because the Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that what? That the assembly of Gerim is part of the assembly, the normative assembly of the Jewish people, and therefore the Petzua Daka is not permitted to marry into the assembly of the Jewish people. See, either way you slice it, either way you cut it, right? He can't marry this woman. If he retains his Kohanic Kedusha, he can't marry her because she's a Bas Gerim. If he doesn't retain his Kohanic Kedusha, he still can't marry her. Why? Because even if she's like a Chalala, she's still what? She's still part of Kahal Yisrael, and therefore he's not permitted. Petzua Daka can't marry into Kahal Yisrael. leave Rabbi Yossi. And if you want to go to Karin Rabbi Yossi, bein bikdusha sekai, bein la bikdusha sekai, achla, according to Rabbi Yossi, either way, she would be permitted to eat. How so? If you hold that he retains his kind of kedusha, she's still permitted to eat. Why? Because what's Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that the offspring of a union between two gerim is permitted to marry a kohen. Therefore, this woman, if the tzedakah is still a kohen, this woman who is the product of gerim would be permitted to go ahead and marry the kohen. However, again, if Lamaisa, if you hold that the coin Pitzua Daka does not retain his Kiddusha, then Achla, she still can eat. Why? The Ha'amar Kal Gerim Lo Ikri Kal. Because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that what Rabbi Yossi, that what? That Lamaisa, the assembly of Gerim, is considered to be its own separate assembly. That when the Torah says Lo Yavo Pitzua Daka Bekal Hashem, Kal Hashem Dafka refers to naturally born Jews, does not refer to Gerim. Kal Gerim is reckoned separately. Ella Aliba, so therefore, Rabbi Yossi was saying, I don't know what to tell you, because the truth is, again, this is a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi, and I'm just simply not sure whom the halacha follows. Ella Aliba dahaitana. Rather, again, the machlokes must be regarding this following tana. This nan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Isha baskerim lo tinasin lekohuna. A woman who is basgerim should not go ahead and marry into the kahuna until her mother is a Yisraelis. So her mother is a Yisraelis. The Rabbi say, now, what does this mean? So the Gemara says, v'hachi kami ba'ila. So Rabbi say, now, what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was saying was, a woman who is the daughter of converts should not go ahead and marry into the kahuna until her mother is a Yisraelis. Okay. Now, the shayla is, what does having a naturally born Jewish mother add? So the Gemara says, does it say that she's kosher? Now, meaning when it says that it's kosher, well, we'll see. Kshera mitosis va'achla, does it mean that it adds on additional kashra stir and therefore she can eat truma? O dilma kiddusha mitosvaba v'lo achla. Or perhaps it adds in kiddusha and she's not permitted to eat. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kashra sitosvaba v'ru'uya l'kuhuna v'lav kiddusha l'akri ekal. So does it add in kashrus, fitness to her, that she's permitted to marry, but she's still not considered to be part of Kahal Yisrael, and therefore she'd be muteres to a Petsua Daka. Now what's interesting over here is something fascinating. So do we say that if she has a Jewish mother, so that creates a sense of kashrus? Meaning, what does it mean kashrus? That she can marry a Petsua Daka. Why can she marry a Petsua Daka? Remember, there's only way you could marry a Petsua Daka, which is if you're not considered to be part of Kahal Hashem. So she marries a Petsua Daka, and because she's not part of Kahal Hashem, that's what enables the marriage to happen. And that's what also enables what? For the consumption of Truma to occur. Odim, the other possibility is no, Kiddusha mitov saba. And I will say, perhaps when she has a Jewish mother, what having a Jewish mother does, even if her father is a convert, what having a Jewish mother does is it gives her Kiddushas Kahal. Kiddushas Kahal means what? That she is part of Kahal Yisrael. Now, if she's part of Kahal Yisrael, what's the problem? She can't marry a Petsua Daka, which by definition would mean that if she were to marry a Petsua Daka, she'd be a Chalala and certainly not permitted to eat Truma. So the Gemara says, Tashma, ki asra v'achabar chenina midroma. Asa v'aisimas nisin biyadei. So the Gemara says, when Rabbi Achabar Chinina came from the south, he came and he brought a Mishnah with him. Minayin lepetsua daka koin shenasa baskirim shemachida b'truma. How do we know that a Petsua Daka Kohen who marries the daughter of Gerim has the ability to go and enable her to eat Truma? Which I will say, remember, now what? Remember, let's analyze this. What would that statement mean? Number one, it tells us that a Petsua Daka can marry a Bas Gerim, and by definition also therefore enable her to eat Truma, which what does that tell us about the Bas Gerim? What does it tell us? That she's not part of Kahal Yisrael. That Kahal Gerim, the assembly of Gerim, is reckoned separately. And I'm about to say, now why we would say that, we haven't established why you would say that. We'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, but that's in tomorrow's daf. But the idea over here is the fact that it says that she can marry indicates that she's not part of Kahal Yisrael. How do we know that? V'shenemar, v'kohen, The Kohen kiyikne nefesh kinyan kaspo. So the Gemara says yochal bo. So the pasuk says over here. The pasuk says the Kohen kiyikne kinyan nefesh kinyan kaspo. Who yochal bo? V'yilid beisohim yochal kaspo. Now what the Gemara is picking up on over here is the following. That word nefesh is additional. You don't read that word nefesh. So the Gemara is darshining over here. This Madomar is darshining over here that the Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo is referring to what? Is referring to a special type of marriage, a special type of marital situation. What's the marital situation to which it's referring to? It's referring to the case of a Kohen who ultimately acquires through marriage, through kesef kiddushin, a woman, namely again the Bas Gerim. So the Gemara says the following: Ilema l'Rabbi Yehuda harbein b'kedusha seikayibein b'la b'kedusha seikayilo achla. Ramah said, now whose opinion is this reflecting? If it's Rabbi Yehuda, remember we've already established according to Rabbi Yehuda that whether this Ptua Daka retains his Kohen Kedusha or whether he abdicates that Kohen Kedusha, either way, bless you, he can't go ahead and eat truma, or she can't eat truma if she marries him. V'Rabbi Yosi lam likran. According to Rabbi Yosi, remember, either way, she can't eat truma. What do I need a pasuk? To which the Gemara says, Ella. Remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, either way, this woman can't eat truma. According to Rabbi Yossi, either way, she can eat truma. In which case, again, why do you need the pasuk at all? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rather, it must be because of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was the Tana that the Gemara quoted before that said that a Isha Bas Gerim should not marry into the Kahuna until her mother is a Yisraelis. And therefore, again, this Pasuk is coming to teach you that according to this particular Peter, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Ushma Mina, Kashris Itosuba Vachla. Remember, we said before, what's the benefit of having the Jewish mother? What does that give you? So we had two possibilities. Possibility A was it adds kashrus, or possibility B was it adds kedusha. I will say, what does that mean? If it adds kashrus, it means that she's Jewish, but what? But not part of Kahal Yisrael. Now that's actually of benefit to her. Why is it of benefit to her? Why? Why? Because she can marry Ptua Daka. But if you hold that Lamaisa again, what? It adds on Kedushas Yisrael, then it sounds all nice that she's part of Kal Yisrael, except now she can't marry the Ptua Daka. Therefore, the Gemara says it would appear that this Braisa that quotes this Pasuk, that speaks out for Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo, understanding that this refers to a particular relationship that a Ptua Daka is able to affect, is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And we see from here that when a woman is Bas Gerim, the fact that she has a Jewish mother gives her what? It gives her kashrus. It gives her kashrus. But that kashrus does not put her as part of Kahal Yisrael. And therefore what? She's able to marry the Ptua Daka. And when she's able to marry the Ptua Daka, what else can she do? She can eat truma. Says the Gemara Itmar. Rav Nava say, we're not finished with this sugya yet. We still have more to do with it. Itmar. Rav Amar. Rav says, Yesh chupa lepsulos. Ushmul Amar. In Chopal Psulos, I must say now, very interesting sugya. Look at Rashi, tap Rashi in Amud Beis. So Rav says there is Chopal for Psulos. What does that mean? Kohen Gadol, Shehichnis Almana, Bas Kohen Lechopa, Velo Ba Aleha, Umeikara, Nami Lo Kija. So this is an interesting case. Let's say the Kohen Gadol takes the Almana, and Mamish, they go right to the Chopa. We'll see when we get to Ksuvis in Mir Sashem. There's a whole discussion of what is Chopa. What is chuppah? So there's a multiple machlokes about what chuppah is. Some say chuppah is actual canopy, the chuppah. Others say chuppah is yichud. Others say chuppah is sheva brachas. Others say chuppah is bia. But let's keep it simple for today's discussions and just assume right now the chuppah literally means the chuppah. So he brings her underneath the or yichud. Either way. So what happens? He skips kiddushin. Sorry, and he goes right to chuppah. So the shaila is now. So what happens? So let's look at the Rashi again. Kohen gadol shechnis almana bas kohen luchopa. So now you have a kohen gadol who wants to marry an almana who herself is the daughter of a kohen, and it brings her into the chuppa. V'lo ba'ala, no bia, no relations. Umeikar nami lo kidja, no kiddushin either. Afilu hachi pasla mitshuma debe nasha de chuppa kiknisas bi'ila damya. So we'll say the shaila is now. This is an illegal marriage. So the question is, what level of marriage does chuppa itself affect? So Rav says, Yesh chuppa lepsulos. Chuppa affects partial marriage. When I was saying, what's the ramification of affecting partial marriage with this woman? What's the ramification? The ramification is, it would preclude her from eating the truma of her father's home. Why would it preclude her from eating the truma of her father's home? Because now essentially she's a halala. On the other hand, Shmuel says, in chuppah the psula. Shmuel says, no, what are you talking about? So chuppah with a psula has absolutely no halachic effect. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, umodali Abba. I will say, now, this is interesting. Who is Abba? Abba is Rav. Rashi says, umodali Abba, mishum dekashish minei kari le Abba, kimaloshin is siv rebbe. So we'll say, Rav apparently was significantly older than Shmuel. So even though Shmuel is arguing on him, Shmuel used to speak to him in a deferential tone and called him Abba. Umodali Abba, bitinokes pechusa mibas shalosh shalom v'yom echad, hoil ve'ein la bia ein la chupa. So Shmuel would say that even Rav who holds that yesh chupa lepsulos says that what? Would agree that there are certain circumstances where chupa of a psula would not work. What would be the example? Of a tinokes, a girl, pchusa mibas shalosh shalom v'yom echad, less than 3 years old in one day, hoil ve'ein la bia. Rabbi said, now this is not in any way saying that the bia of 3 years old and 1 day plus is halachically sanctioned. Remember, Chazal, we see this often, over and over in Gemara, where we speak in technicalities. We speak in categories, trying to understand halachically what type of categories to create. Don't infer from here about what was actually done. Because you have Gemara that speak explicitly to the contrary of this. So, but Gemara is talking in a categorical sense. The Gemara says that Shmuel says, Rav would agree with me that a chuppah, let's say with a girl of less than 3 years old in one day, would not work. Why? because there is no bia, there is no chuppah. Amar Rava says, afaran amitin. So we'll say, what Shmuel is saying is that even Rav would agree, even Rav who holds, yesh chuppah lepsulos, would agree that if there was a chuppah in a situation where bia was an impossibility, then lemaise, even chuppah in that case wouldn't work. And Rava said, you're going to see, it's a little bit of a setup. Amar Rava says, afaran amitinina. We also learn this. Rashi says, the ain bia posalta, the chevan dein bia posalta, kosh kein shein chuppa posalta. So Rava says, we even have a brisa that supports this idea that where there is no bia, there is no chuppa. Bas shalosh shana v'yom echad miskadesh es bebia. If the girl is 3 years old in one day, kiddushin could occur with bia. V'imbala yavam kina. Similarly, if Yibum happened in this situation, he would acquire her. V'chayavin ala mishum eishes ish. And again, if she was married off, let's say her father married her off, technically speaking, another man had relations with her. So the ma'is, again, that would be adultery. U'metame es bo'ala. Technically, if she became a nida, she would go ahead and convey that same level of tuma to any man who had relations with her. Latame mishkav tachton ke'elyon. Rabbi saying this is an interesting technicality in Hilchos Nida, that Hilchos Nida has this idea of tumas midras. Tumas midras says that if you were to sit on, let's say I have a pile of cushions and I sit on the top cushion, that all the cushions below it become tame, even though there was no direct contact with those bottom cushions. Niseis l'kohen, if she marries a kohen, ocheles b'truma, she's permitted to eat truma, bo'aleha echem mikol ha'psulin, pasla. And if anyone ultimately, again, who's the psulin, rashes kigon chalal, nesin, mamzer, in all of these cases, if there was a man who was a pasla, had relations with her, pasla, she be psula from the kuhuna, bas shloshe yamim, so the Gemara says, what do we see from here? Bas shalosh shana v'yom echad hu de pasla bebia. So what do you see over here? It's only from 3 years old in one day and on that you could ultimately invalidate her with the bia. However, again, mifsala, I'm sorry, let me read that again. Bas shalosh shana v'yom echad hu de mifsala bebia, mifsala bechupa. So what do you see from here? It's only from 3 years old in one day on where she could become pasla as a result of bia. That's only the time in which the chuppah can invalidate her as well. But a girl less than 3 years old in one day, what? What is halacha de lo mifsala bebia, where the bia is insignificant, lo mifsala nami bechuppah. She would also not become psula with chuppah, shmamino, and indeed learn this. So Rabbi say, what we end up, we'll stop over here for today, but we end off over here, Rabbi say, is a fundamental machlok between Rav and Shmuel. So again, on one hand, you have Rav going ahead and saying that chuppah, yesh chuppah l'posels, which Rabbi say means that if a man, and again, the easiest way to illustrate this is with the kahuna, although it's not limited to the kahuna, but if, let's say, again, a kohen gadol, and this is a very specific case, a kohen gadol wants to marry an amana. The amana herself is a bas kohen, so she's enjoying the benefits of truma from her father's household. Rav holds that once the kohen gadol brings her under the chuppah, that already, that chuppah essentially is like a bia, That chuppah is like a biyah, and that would preclude her from eating the truma of her father's home. Why? Because at this point in time, she's now considered to be what? A chalala, and therefore she can't eat. That's Rav's position. Shmuel says, no, chuppah is not kona with psulos. Now we'll have to see if, according to Shmuel, does chuppah do anything? It could be that according to Shmuel, chuppah is just like any regular erisin, and perhaps Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, where again, erisin with a puzzle does not make you into chalala, and therefore would not preclude someone from eating the truma of her father's household. Shmuel comes along and says that even Rav will agree, however, that not every chuppah passels. A chuppah only passels when? In a case where what? Where bia is a possibility. But if bia is not a possibility, now I will say bia not a possibility is only one very specific case of pachos mibas shalosh shanim. But again, still nevertheless, the principle emerges that if bia is not possible, even Rav would agree that what? That the chuppah would not pass on the woman. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem over here tomorrow.